and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
What the Word of God will do for you. Let's unpack this together, shall we? And share some ideas on how we can hear from God and how we can seek Him and know Him in our lives. So let's unpack. I want you, if you've got your Bibles, you know what that is? That's called a Bible, right? Just for those young guys with all the apps. I've got all the apps too. I've got about 100 of them. As a matter of fact, I keep jamming up my phone with them. I've got to keep deleting them because I just love apps. But you know, there's a reason why God wrote the Bible. It's in black and white. Did you notice that? It's in black and white. Why? So that we would have no doubt as to the will of God. So in this book, in these pages here, is not everything we need to know, but there's sufficient for what we need to know. Because if God wrote down everything that we needed to know, this wouldn't be big enough. You just wouldn't fit it in this room, right? Because of what God needed to do. But what God did in His wisdom is He inspired over 40 authors over thousands of years. Most of them didn't know each other, and yet they wrote in unity. And then this word comes to us, and it's in black and white. I think it's important. Would you think? Sort of. I mean, how important is the Bible? I'd put it up there with oxygen. It's pretty important. Because besides breathing, I think it'd be good to know why we're here. And wouldn't it be good to have a bit of a handbook, a guidance for what we're doing? Because really, at the end of the day, I can't trust you, right? Have you ever heard people hear? Have you heard people say this? I want to tell you this from the depths of my heart. I get real worried then. Because the Bible says the human heart is wicked above all things. Who can know it? Well, God does. And at the end of the day, you can't really trust me. Because at the end of the day, we're human. You understand where I'm coming from? We have foibles. None of us are exempt from the culture and the background in which we're born. And that can put blinkers on our eyes. So what did God do? He said, let's just put it in black and white so everyone will have enough information and know what to do and what not to do. So I'm going to begin this morning from reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You ready to go? Turn to it or look it up. Hebrews chapter 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit and the joints of the marrow or physical or the body. It is able to judge. I'm sorry, I just swore there in the modern. I just used a filthy word, a swear word in today's culture. Look what it says. It is able to judge the desires and the thoughts of the heart. Wow. How can that be? A book that's thousands of years old, and yet in 2019, I read it, I'm judged. Wow, amazing, isn't it? So how does God speak? I know I read it, but how does God speak? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets, prophecy, and in many times and in various ways. Oh, God speaks in various ways, not just through the Bible. That's interesting. Has in the end of these last days spoken to us by His Son. Some translations say in His Son or through His Son. By whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom all things were made. Chapter 2, verse 4. God also testifying. So now there's testimony somewhere to the Bible. By signs and wonders. So God speaks through signs and wonders and works of power. In other words, miracles. God speaks through these things. And by gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God speaks through all the gifts of the Spirit, teaching, serving, helping, encouraging, prophecy, all these gifts. God speaks through them. Amazing, isn't it? So then with all this and the Bible, how do we put it together and seek God? I love Psalm 119. We'll deal with it later, but it says this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to put that in modern context. Your word is a torch to my feet. My daily decisions, the feelings that I have, it's a torch that will show me. But it's also a spotlight for my path. It's a spotlight that looks way into the future. And as I imbibe the principles of the Word of God, as I begin to obey it, as I begin to get revelation, not only do I see what to do today, but I get an idea where God's going to take me. And ultimately into heaven, into the presence of God. And it keeps me on the path every day with the torch, the Word, but the spotlight, the Word, showing me where to go and where to live. Therefore, we ought to treasure God's Word. God's Word ought to be central in our hearts and in our lives. Central. How do you do that? I want you all to raise your hands. Can you do that? Raise one hand like that. Close your fist. Okay, how do we keep God's Word central? There's a little Sunday school moment here, okay? Put up your thumb. You read it. Finger. You meditate in it. Middle finger. You listen to it. Fourth finger. You study it. Fifth finger. You do it. You begin to put it into practice by confessing, by practicing, by actually doing what the Word of God says. Let me share a concept with you, because we're Pentecostals, right? Did you know we're a Pentecostal? I just want to put that out there. What do we believe about the Bible? We believe in this concept. It's Latin. It's the word, or two words, centrali scriptura. It means the Bible is center. But that's not the only belief in the Christian world. Reformists and evangelicals don't actually believe in centrali scriptura. They believe in sola scriptura. Sola means only. So, Reformed and evangelical traditions, they believe there is no other sources of divine revelation, only through the Bible. Sola scriptura. Roman Catholics have a different view. Let's just say at this end, so you've got only the Bible. So if you go now to the Roman Catholic tradition, which is not just Roman Catholic, but Orthodox tradition, they believe in prima scriptura. Prima meaning first. In other words, the Bible gives revelation first, but there are others that stand equal to it and maybe even above it, like the adoration of Mary, which is actually not taught in the New Testament at all. But through their tradition, they believe it's equal to the Word of God. So you have only the Word of God, no prophecy, no dreams, no visions, only through the Bible. And then you have, yes, the Bible first, but along with other things like tradition and experience and visions and everything, and they're equal or even greater. But what we believe is we believe in centrali scriptura. The Bible is central. So the Bible is to be in our hearts and in our spirits and minds. And God speaks through all these other ways. Centrali, central. In other words, the scriptures or the Holy Bible trumps, oh, better be careful about that word, and relates all other forms of guidance, voices, feelings, and traditions to it. So if I feel to do this, but the Bible says no, you better not do it. But in our world, we go, but I feel it. What right have you got to judge me? Well, I've got no right to judge you if you're out of the church, but if you're in the church, I have equal right to judge you and you have equal right to judge me. It's in Corinthians, by the way. Because we live in a world that quotes the Bible at its convenience. Judge not, but they don't read the whole verse. judge not, lest ye be judged. For with the same measure that you judge, it will be judged back to you. Read the whole scripture, please. The Bible actually does tell us to judge, but we are to judge according to the Word of God, not according to our feelings or our intuition or what's common. What does the Bible say about the subject? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Say all scripture. There it is there. I haven't got time here this morning to show you all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God might be perfect. That word's unfortunate in our English. It means full or mature or fully equipped, that you might be furnished to all good works. So the reason God wants you to be perfect, not perfection, but perfectly equipped, I loved how John put it this morning, in your sweet spot, is you'll be able to do a whole lot of good work. And it's no longer about you or me. It's about us. It's about them, right? Lovely. So how does God speak? Well, let's go to a chart that I'm going to put up here. Here we go. Look at this. This is how God speaks. So instead of the Bible first and all these things after, or no, it's only the Bible, what we believe is the Bible is central. Now, you'll see a couple of circles there. I hope it's up there. Yes, it is. See there, it says yes or no. Say that, please. Say yes. Before you do anything, could I suggest something as a reasonably experienced Christian and pastor? Could you find out if God said yes first? It's called a concordance. You don't even have to pray. You just look at the concordance and look it up. And if he says yes, go for your life. Look what it says there. No. There are things in the Bible that God says no to. So, oh yeah, but I feel. Can I be frank this morning? Stop it. Don't live by your feelings, live by the Word of God. Central. It's center. But look what else. The Bible also says you choose. Isn't that amazing? I felt like yogurt this morning. So I had yogurt. I didn't even pray about it. It was awesome. I went to the fridge, where's my yogurt? And there it was at the back. And I got it. And I ate it. I didn't pray. I didn't fast. I didn't get a scripture for it. Because the Bible teaches me that I have a conscience and a free will. And there's a heap of stuff I can choose. So why do Christians talk like this? Oh, the Lord told me to get this car. Stop it. Go get the car you want. You know, we get all spiritual about it. I'm getting a Holden. Why is that? Because I'm holding on to the promises. Well, I'm going to get a Ford. Why? I'm going forward for God. We've got to stop all this. Because God's already said yes or no, but he also says you choose. What about this one? Silent. There's a whole lot of stuff. You won't find it in here. So how do you discover it? That's what that circle's about. Spouse agreement. If you're married, please wait until you're agreed. Peter, as joint heirs, praying together and agreeing. Right? I've had husbands tell me, I bought a house, told my wife. Oh, you're one of the brightest Christians I've ever met. That ain't going to work. Oh, I've done, no, and wives, I did that. Well, no, wait a minute. See, that's how God leads. God leads, and usually one's a rocket and one's an anchor. Hands up all the rockets here. Yeah, you're the idea people. You want to go ahead and do things. But I guarantee you marry an anchor. Oh, I don't know, I need to think about that. Oh, that's the devil. Could be God. Could be God saving you from a whole lot of pain. So you say, well, I'm not married. I'm like, this has a wider application because I've just used that language. Family. Church family. Sometimes the greatest guidance we can get from a brother or a sister in Christ is, you're an idiot. Because we're going to go do a dumb thing. Don't fight it. Just listen to not just the Bible, Bible central. But now listen to your spouse, your friends. And then I've got your leaders. Listen to leaders. If I got a dollar for the 45 years that I pastored for every person that came to me and told me what they were going to do. I've been praying, Pastor, I've got some great news. What's that? I'm doing this. I go, well, you go do whatever God told you. Because why are you asking me? Oh, you're not asking me. You're telling me. See, we've got to understand this stuff. If we don't understand it, we get all lost. And you can be a Bible-believing, Bible-quoting Christian, and your life can be a mess. I've seen it. Because we don't understand how God leads. This is very important. That we understand God leads us through a process. Yes, the Bible is central, but he also speaks through family, natural, spiritual. He speaks through leaders. Look, conscience. Conscience. Man, we live in an age where Timothy, the book of Timothy is so true. Conscience is a seared with a hot iron, it says. See, this is what I've discovered about my conscience. It can become like a wheelbarrow. I can push it anywhere I want. And you know the greatest way that you can violate your conscience is by allowing the trick of the devil from Genesis chapter 3 to operate in our life. This is what the devil said. He questions the word. Did God say? And then finally he replaces the word. What is it? Put it all down. Redefinition. If you can redefine the Bible, you've got you out, baby. Take the latest thing about abortion. Who would ever think that we would condone killing a baby in the womb? Anybody? Even atheists disagree with that. Let's redefine it. It's not a baby. It's a fetus. So when does it become a baby? Oh, 20 weeks, 22 weeks. Really? But if it's just a fetus, now we can murder it. Sorry for being there. But that's what the Bible says, don't murder. But you see, if we can change the terminology, then our conscience is exempt. This is huge. When I first became a Christian, if you had sex without outside of marriage, if you weren't married and you had sex, that was called fornication. Now it's called living together. Wow, how groovy and hip. Well, not according to this book. Oh, yeah, but Pastor Gordon, hey, you need to come into the modern age. See, this Bible, we love it. It's the Word of God. I read this week a pastor, this is a pastor of a church, this is what he said. The Bible is evolving. I mean, if the leaders are blind and lead the blind, everyone's going to fall in the ditch, right? That's why God gave us his word, because it's a light. It's a lamp. Amazing. He says the Bible's evolving. In other words, yes, it's true for them. But what's happened is we know more now. We're so sophisticated. We know everything about everything. Really? The Bible isn't evolving because it's the Word of God. Yeah, but it's full of hate speech. No, it's not hate speech. It's what you hate speech. Yeah, but the Bible judges me. I've been reading it for 50 years. It's been judging me for 50 years. Every time I read it, I go, oh, yeah, I've got to get that right. I've been a pastor. I mean, I'm a holy man of God. I've got to still read the Bible. I might be a pastor, but I'm a person. I'm a Christian. I've got to read the Bible, and it's a mirror, and I'm telling you, it judges you. Yeah. Hebrews 4, it judges the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. That's what the Bible does. Come on, get with the program. Why do we need judging? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. That's why we need this. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, God. It keeps me sane. It protects me from you. Because sooner or later you're going to offend me, right? You're going to do the wrong thing. Come on. Come on. You're human. I'm going to offend you. But if I've got the Bible central, look, you can't get to my heart because I've got the Word of God in me. I'm living it. I'm meditating it. It's going to protect me. Don't ever allow your heart to redefine the Bible. Take it as it is, baby. Revelation, knowledge. I love that one, knowledge. Sometimes, you know, what's knowledge? It's what you know. Yeah, but I didn't know it. Well, you can observe it. That's what knowledge is. You learn it through observation. You learn, and it's knowledge. Ever been to Mount Mee? I ride it quite a bit. Well, not the older I've got. It gets a bit more difficult. But anyway, I won't go there. Mount Mee, you go around one corner, there's a drop. I wonder if anyone after this meeting would come with me and we'll try out the Spirit and we'll get led by the Spirit and jump off and see what happens. You say, that's ridiculous. That's right. Because I know what's going to happen. If I jump off, gravity kicks in. And I'm going to fall, right? But you know, have you noticed, in life, and there's no one in this room that does this, and I'm of course accepted, but people just keep churning through relationships, right? Everything, friends, church, oh, the church is full of hypocrites, you know, marriages, businesses, they joke from job to job. Why? Because they just burn through relationships all the time. No one says this. What did I learn out of this? Have I learned anything? See, God won't destroy you and thunder and lightning come out of heaven because you make a mistake. But I tell you what God doesn't like. A fool. Someone who constantly keeps doing what they know not to do. We keep jumping off. Praise God, Lord. Let me float in the Spirit. Oh, well, hallelujah, Lord. Let me just jump off and float in the Spirit. Oh, I've got a scripture. He will take his angels and they will look after you and you will not even cut your foot. Oh, hallelujah. But what do you know? If you jump off a cliff, you go down to the bottom. Sorry to bore you, but you see, what I'm trying to say is, this is why I can't accept the Reformed and the traditional and the evangelical positions, because I can't live a life that's just the Bible. All of these things are true and they're taught in the Word of God. But neither can I exalt these above the Bible. I need to live a life where I'm hearing from God. There's prophecy, there's experience and knowledge, there's discernment. I call there the inner voice, there's my conscience. But it must go somewhere. That's why God's given us the Word of God. Centrali Scriptura, the Bible is central. And if we keep the Bible central, these eight things will come into our lives. You ready? Quick? Very quickly, eight things. What the Bible will do for you. Number one, the Bible will cause you to be born again. Born again. You'll be saved through the Word of God. Peter, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. God will save you through His Word. And we know that we were saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. We need to keep the Word of God center in our lives. Once the Word of God gets off center, you'll be amazed what even mature thinking people will start to practice and espouse. Because the Word of God gets off center. Number two, you'll grow through the word of God. So not only is it a seed to create life, it says it's milk to grow. And it says we're to desire God's word with that childlike desire. Keep childlike in your desire for the word of God. Keep it center, keep it daily, keep it alive. It doesn't sound spectacular, but I'll tell you what, all of those people that have had children, you feed your children milk. You don't go one day after and go, well, it hasn't grown. Something wrong with the milk. So, well, what's going on? No, 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 you just keep feeding that child and it grows. It's the same in the Bible. That's what he's saying here. Regularly reading, meditating, listening, studying, and practicing it, you will grow. Number three, you frame your world through the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, we know by faith that the worlds and the stars and the universes, everything, were framed by the word of God. We also know that our world is framed by the word of God. If we keep reading it, meditating it, studying, we begin to think different, speak different. We begin to frame our world after kingdom policy or kingdom viewpoint or kingdom attitude and atmosphere. Framing our world. Number four, you'll be complete and equipped for every good work. We read it before, that the man and woman of God will be fully equipped, perfect, mature for every good work. Number five, you will find a mirror to go to. Hands up those that looked in the mirror this morning. I'm just looking around the room. I think everyone did. I have to look less for my hair, of course, because it just stays the same. No matter what day it is, it's the same. I don't come, oh, I'm having a hair day. You know, I never have one of those. I just have the day, you know, because anyway, but we look at the mirror, don't we? Why do you look in a mirror? Two things. Number one, to see what's wrong. So you go to the mirror. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, look at that. Right? Or if you're a lady, oh, I need some more rosy on my cheek. So you put stuff in there. Let me think. You go to see what's wrong, right? When you go to the Bible, it will judge you of what's wrong. It's there. It's a mirror. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. The word of God's a mirror. Be in it daily. And it will judge, it will show you what's wrong. But there's another side to the Bible. The Bible doesn't just judge what's wrong, it confirms what's right. So, you know, if you've spent, I can't put a time on it, but say, ladies, you've spent a long time getting ready to go out for a special date night or something, and you're getting all done and all that. What's the last thing you do before you leave the room? I'm telling you. I know. Hands up those that have got a long mirror. Look at all the ladies putting their hands. So you have a short mirror where you do the close-up stuff. You go and get dressed. You're all ready to leave. But the last thing before you go. And then you walk out. What's the mirror told you? What's right? The Bible will tell you what's right. The more you read it and the more you obey it, you'll become a man, a woman of God. And when you read it, you go, oh, man, look what God's done in my life. Wow, I'm there. That's me. That's what it ought to be. It's not meant to be, you're wrong, you need this, God's against you. You'll read some days the Bible and go, oh, God, I used to be like that. Look what God's done. And your heart will lift, not in pride, but in praise to God. That's what the Bible's there to do. It's a mirror to show you what's wrong when we need it, but it's more there too to show what God has done and what he is doing. That's what the mirror of God's word does. Let me finish with three things from Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter. But you know the word or its derivatives are mentioned so many times. It's amazing. Testimonies, 23 times. Precepts, 21 times. Commandments, 22 times. Word, 19 times, meaning what God has spoken. Word, 24 times, meaning God's revealed word. The law, 25 times. Judgment, 23 times. Statutes, 20. I think it's important. It's nearly near the middle of the Bible. Psalm 117 is actually the central chapter in the Bible, and it's only got two verses, the shortest. And then you've got 18, 19 close to it, the longest, and it's about the Bible. Maybe God's saying something. Why don't you read it, Psalm 119? It's brilliant. Here are three things from Psalm 119. Number six, the word of God will keep you from sin. Your word have I stored in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we are storing up God's word and meditating on it and thinking, so it just becomes our natural default setting, it will save us from sinning and displeasing God. We won't even need to think about it because it's become part of us. It's not just a written word. Now it's a living word in me. Instead of those old habits emerging, what I find is now godly habits are emerging. Because the word of God is alive and active. It's actually living in me. It's producing something. That's what the Bible is here to do. Number seven, the Bible will fill your life with peace and you'll live unoffendable. Isn't that amazing? Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Keeping the Bible close, center in our heart. I said before, I need the Bible here to protect me against you, against life. See, when something happens, I don't have a godless attitude. When something negative happens, now I have a biblical view. Oh, all things work together for good. I can get through this. God's, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to get through this because the word, it's center. It's in my heart. It will keep me and I'll live under freedom. Number eight, the last one. The Bible will give you wisdom and understanding beyond your years. Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You want to live a great life? We need more than just believing in Jesus and turning up to church, peeps. We need the Word of God to be center. We don't just get our food on a Sunday morning. Yes, great preaching and teaching in this church. That's just to stimulate what's already there, to boost what's there. But every day, we're storing up the Word of God. The Bible is central. I love your Word, Lord. I keep it in my heart. I'll be wiser. I'll be stronger. I'll be kept from sin. I'll know the will of God for my daily life and for my future. God will begin to reveal. And as God speaks to me through wonderful ways, prophecy, dreams and visions and leaders and family, all these ways God will speak, it all comes through, as it were, the vortex of the Word of God that's central, centrale scriptura. Loving God's Word and being the center of what we do. Amen. Why don't you stand in the presence of God? You know, the greatest guidance you can get is to say yes to Jesus. I did that 50 years ago. I can still remember 50 years ago. We're going to finish by just asking you this question. Do you feel the pull of God this morning as you've been in the worship and the service? That's the voice of God. And maybe today you're away from God. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, but you've heard that small voice. It's like in your conscience. And even today, as the worship's happened and the preaching and the atmosphere, in your heart you're saying, I need to get right with this. I need to reconnect with God.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.